Okay, good morning to everyone. Can you hear? No? Can I? Okay. Morning. Okay, it's great to see everyone. Wow, the class is really, really filling up. You know, there are some weeks that there's not a single seat left. Did you know that? Like 100%. Yeah, we are filled up. So sooner or later, we have to think about how. But then again, Bethany is very full also. So that is why one of the things that we're thinking of is actually to look at the space right here, this space that is beside the church, to look at building something on it. But it's quite a little bit complex because the government is not going to sell that land easily. So they have to rent it and things like that. There are plans right now as to making use of the space. But well, this is a happy problem for the church. Something to look at. Well, today is also Bethel's 31st anniversary. So Pastor is away with them. We rejoice with them very much. They are looking at building a new building very soon. So the building fund is coming up as well. So lots of things that they are looking forward to. And we rejoice with them very, very much. On this matter of Teachers' Day, well, last week y'all celebrated Teachers' Day. I want to thank you for the gift that you have given over to me. Last week I wasn't around because I was in Chengdu. I went to Chengdu, China. So see the pandas instead. Celebrate Teachers' Day with the pandas. So I just want to thank you again. So today is my privilege to look at Revelation. Revelation 17. Actually, we are inching towards the end of the book of Revelation. Can you imagine that? You know, just like that, week after week, next thing you know, we are close to the end already. This is 17 chapters already. What are we going to do after Revelation? I don't know. Talk to the big boss, talk to the master teacher. Maybe he'll teach us Ezekiel, and then everybody will faint after that. So this is Revelation, and really every time I come up here and I am challenged to teach this book, you know, I'm just very conscious that I'm teaching as one that is learning with you, alongside you. I dare not look at this as something I know very well and then you teach very well. No, not this book. So I can only share with you as one who is learning alongside together with you, okay? So there are lots of things to look at this book, okay? And so we're going to go into it very shortly, okay? Let's pray as we begin. Father in heaven, we thank you for this book of Revelation. Thank you, Lord, for the words of prophecy, for in them we catch glimpses of light in a darkened world. For in them, you help us to see that one day the day will dawn and the morning star will rise and we will see all things clearly. We pray that you will grant to us grace, mercy to be able to read and to keep these words and therein to find a special blessing. We pray and ask for all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You know, when I look at this book of Revelation and prophecy, one of the verses that helped me to appreciate this a little bit is actually found in 2 Peter. Now, let me just read this for you before we begin, okay? To talk about how we can appreciate prophecy, just a little bit before we begin, right? So 2 Peter 1, in verses 19 to 21, it actually talks about this. Peter was speaking about the prophetic word. And he looks at it and he says, the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming is a fulfillment of the prophetic word. Okay, but how do you appreciate the prophetic word? In verse 19, it says, So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. And this is what prophecy does. In a world that is darkened, we see and catch glimpses of light in prophecy. Now, glimpses because you won't be able to see the full picture just yet. When we read Revelation 17 about the harlot, about the beast, about the horns, about the heads. I think we also find it very hard. It's very hard to see what will that be. All we have are little glimpses of light, harbingers of what is to come. But they are light, and they help us to hold on to truth with reference to the future. So this is what it is, a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises. Meaning to say, you know, it's just like the early morning, the early dawn. You know, when you get up early, it's dark, right? And then the day begins to light up, right? And you begin to see, you know, it's six something. It's, yes, you get, begin to see things. You begin to see the light coming through. You begin to see your surroundings. You begin to see around you. And then the sun rises. And that's the morning star rising up. And when the sun rises, everything is clear. That's the fulfillment of prophecy. One day, the day will dawn. One day, the morning star, the light of Christ will shine. And everything that we are reading will become clear. That's what we are holding on to. So when we look at the book of Revelation, this is how this is how I sort of appreciate this a little bit. We catch glimpses. You know, you can't understand everything. You can't pinpoint and say, this is what it is. But you catch a little glimpse of what the future will be. And that gives us hope. And that is why we read this book. Okay, it's just a little bit of an introduction onto Revelation 17 here. Okay, so now we come back to Revelation 17. And it's good to look at what we call the big picture of it all. Okay, so here's the big picture, right? There is it is a picture of what is to come. So first we see this, the great harlot, the woman. Okay, so she, what does she represent? Represents corrupt religion, essentially. Okay, so harlotry, because in the Old Testament times, it really refers more to spiritual idolatry rather than to actual immorality, although that was also a part of it. But it represents corrupt religion. Okay, so she sits on many waters. There's a global influence part of it. Okay, and another feature about this harlot is that she possesses wealth. So this is something, a combination we're not seeing as much right now. Because this is one, it is religious. Two, it is very influential. And three, it is wealthy. We don't see that particular combination right now. But this is something that is to come. And so this city is called Babylon the Great. Okay, so this is the first part of it. So there's the woman, and then there is the beast. Okay, so we're looking at Revelation 17. Okay, and then there is the beast. So what does the beast represent? Represents basically geopolitical clout and might. Military might included. So it's going to be something that it will influence the whole world. Okay? And then behind the authority of the beast is the dragon. This is Revelation 13. And then the description of the beast, 7 heads and 10 horns, right? So we read here in verse 7, I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and the 10 horns. So this is what we are seeing over here. Okay, so last week, we looked a little bit at what those 7 heads are. Today, we're going to look at the 10 horns. So the focus now is on the beast, the 7 heads and 10 horns, just to get everyone up to speed. Because if you've been traveling for 1 week or 2 weeks, you come back, what are we talking about? Okay, you don't know what is happening. You can be really, really lost in this beast and woman and then what's happening. So just to get everyone up to speed onto where we are. So today, we're going to look at verse 12. To talk about the 10 horns on the beast. Okay, so we read here. Now, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. Okay, who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. Now, so this is what we're going to try to understand the beast a little bit more. So last week we talked about the seven heads. Now, the beast himself is one of them. So there's seven, there's five, there's Rome, and then there's one more to come, and the beast will be one of them as well. So that was last week. So today we talk about the ten horns, right? So this is a little bit different. Because what is a horn, actually? In the early days, a horn is a symbol of power. In the Old Testament days, when he speaks about a horn, when David speaks about his horn, it speaks about power. So when we talk about a beast with ten horns, well, that is a symbol of immense power, right? So we look at a beast, look at a rhino, for example. The symbol and the power of the rhino is in that horn. Okay, when he charges with that horn. So this is a creature with ten horns. So ten horns, what are they actually? And the explanation here, the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, okay, who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So ten kings, no kingdom as it were, their own kingdom, but they will reign as kings with the beast. And whatever authority they have is from the beast. So it's these ten kings, whatever they are, nations, persons, leaders, whatever they are aligned with the beast. So they receive their authority from the beast, okay? And then they reign as kings with the beast, okay? And we read on also, verse 13, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. So these are ten. So ten. And one mind, and everything is aligned with the beast. Authority, power given to the beast. They are working closely with the beast, essentially. So what are these ten? Okay, this one, it comes from Pastor, I have to tell you first. So he says, okay, in the past, people thought the 10 European Union. But now, European Union is not only 10, there's so many more. So who are these 10? Okay, honestly, it is very hard to pinpoint, okay, who are they? So, but all we know is that there will arise the beast. Okay, so 5, and then Rome 6. The seventh one is yet to come, which what is it? We don't know. It's very hard. The eighth, the beast. Okay? And with the beast, it will be surrounded these ten kings. Right? These ten horns that will do his bidding, that will work with him, for him, and reign with him. So, if you ask what entity has such a power today, actually we don't see it yet. So again here, a lot of what we see today are really more harbingers, right? Glimpses of what could be in the future. So this is what we're seeing over here. So the ten horns, all right? And then we read on, verse 14, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, okay? For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. So you see these ten kings now, right, of one mind, doing the bidding of the beast. So what will happen is they will end up with war against the Lamb. So you just try to imagine this, a creature with ten horns, okay, ten horns, right, and a Lamb. Who wins in that situation, right? So this is a lamb is seemingly not very strong, seemingly harmless, seemingly very innocent, and yet behind the representation of the lamb is not a mere lamb. These are ten kings, but behind the lamb is the King of Kings. So he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, right? And between the lamb and the and the 10 horns, the Lamb will win. The Lamb will overcome. Right? So this is our Lord. This is the Lord Jesus Christ that we speak of. Right? It may seem like something innocuous. It may seem like something very gentle, very innocent. But what people often overlook is who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. If you want to talk about authority, if you want to talk about power, if you want to talk about what it really is all about, the Lord is truly King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And when it comes down to powers ranged against the Lord, we will find that the 10 will not be able to overcome. So this is what we're seeing over here, right? The Lamb will overcome, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and those who are with Him. Meaning to say those who will form up His army over here, okay? Who will be the soldiers in this here? Three qualifications. One, called. Two, chosen. And three, faithful. Okay, so who will that be? That will be all of us. So how would it all work out? It is a real challenge. What kind of war would this be? Would it be a kind of religious war? What will it be all about? It is honestly very, very hard to challenging to put it all together. But there is what it will be. So these are the 10 horns. Okay, they do the bidding of the beast. They receive the authority of the beast. Okay, authority short-lived, yes, but they will do whatever they can in that period of time. Okay, so one, they will make war with the Lamb, right? And the Lamb will overcome, and those who with Him will overcome. So remember now what we're seeing. So we have to always take a step back from what we're reading to look at Revelation 17 again. So you see, this is the woman, the great harlot, and she sits atop the beast. Meaning to say that what we will see in time to come is one, a corrupt religious entity with a lot of influence together with a strong geopolitical military entity together. So you just imagine someone riding on a beast. Let's say you were to ride on a horse, right? You and the horse will go together. Right, so if the woman sits on the beast, what it means is that they are working together. One benefits from the other. So the woman will benefit from the strength, the might, the power, the clout of the beast. Right, so the woman will benefit from and then the beast will support the woman, and they actually go together. And it will seem for a while that they are working well together. But what will happen in the end? What will happen is that these 10 horns will actually turn against the harlot, the woman. So verse 15, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So this is what we have read about already. Okay, this is where her influence will be widespread. But let's look at this in verse 16. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So this is what we're going to see, that it will seem for a while that the harlot can, as it were, tame the beast, control the beast, make use of the beast, whatever the case may be. But in the end, these two will turn. The beast will turn on the harlot. So these 10 horns will literally turn on this harlot, right? Hate her, turn on her with hatred, okay? Desolate and naked, eat the flesh, burn her with fire. Because you see, what is going to happen shortly after this, right? Revelation 18, 19. The woman who is Babylon the Great will fall. Number one. Two, the beast will be defeated. Three, the dragon, which is Satan, the one behind the beast, will be bound for 1,000 years. Three more events, after which Satan will be defeated and then new heaven and new earth. So this is towards the ending already. right? So what you will see is these two entities going against each other, right? So the woman, the beast, you know, is like a person sitting on a beast, and then the next thing you think you can tame, you know, it's like those circus people, you know, they work with lions, they work with tigers, and you think you can tame them, right? And the next thing you know, they turn on you, right? The famous story about orcas all over in captivity, you think you can tame them, you think you can get them to do tricks. These are killer whales. These whales can kill sharks, and we are playing with them like toys. And so they end up killing people, of course, because they are whales. They are killer whales. That's what they do, right? So in the same way, the beast, the harlot will think for a while, I can benefit from this beast, right? I can benefit from its power, its clout. I sit on it. However far it stretches, I can stretch too. And then my network goes far. And I make use of whatever may be. So you see the religious and you see the secular, and one is atop the other. So this is the kind of developments that we're going to see. So it's how does that work out? Because at this point of time now, okay, we don't see that kind of reach that a single religion has, right? Could it be something that is growing? Yes, that's why we talk about, when Pastor's speaking about Roman Catholic Church and everything, it doesn't have that kind of reach right now. It doesn't have, a lot of what it has is about 500 years ago kind of power and clout. But it doesn't have that today. Today, the world is really more secularized than anything. If anything, religion is a factor in lobbying. So in America, you have the evangelical side of things that lobby for Trump, for example, right? Because he stands for conservative values, right? So there was one time we were having a lunch with at one of the pastors from America, because we support Third Mill. Third Mill is an organization that wants to make biblical education free for anyone, and they will put it online. And now they even have things that you can, that will grade, and then you can qualify for these degrees and things like that. So we're having lunch with him one day, and then we asked him, why actually do people vote for Trump? And his answer was this: it's just fear. Because if I vote the other side, well, what will my children be learning in school? So what choice do you have? So in circumstances like that, I say, I thank God I live here and not there, because you're stuck, right? You vote for one, you get this. You go for the other, you get, who do you vote for? That's why a lot of people don't even vote in the end, because what are we looking at? So this is the challenge. You're going to see a religious entity, corrupt, but very widespread in spirit, atop a strong geopolitical entity, and the two will move together for a while. Until one day, they don't. Until one day, the beast turns on the harlot. Maybe too much influence, maybe too much clout, maybe too much whatever, and then they turn on each other. Actually, it's the beast that turns on the harlot, and he tears the harlot apart. So whatever luxury, whatever the harlot seems to have, it's actually just, it's not a whole lot. It's not like the harlot can fight back. The beast just turns on her and that's it. It's gone, right? So chapter 18 will actually talk about the fall of the harlot called Babylon the Great. Well, like you see, in the early days, when in any of these large centers, for example, in ancient Babylon, it is never just about trade or commerce or about the economy, etc. In the early days, there was always a religious element. So even Babylon as a city would represent their god. And those who come, the temple precinct itself wouldn't just be a place of worship. A lot of times it's also a place of commerce. And that mixture of religion and commerce and things like that, that's what these centers represented, like Babylon, for example. So when we read, for example, we often read the book of Ephesians. Ephesus was a center of the worship of Diana, the goddess. And that temple is one of the, you know, it used to draw people there, not just for worship or religious. It is a mix of religion together with trade, commerce, economy, etc. And it was a huge thing. So recently, they actually discovered the remains of this temple of Diana, and it was they found the actual site that was there. So when we talk about Babylon, when we talk about the harlot, this is the kind of thing we're talking about. It's very foreign to us, because today the great cities of the world are a lot of them just secular. So where does the religious part enter in? Actually, it's very, very challenging to understand. But this is what you will see. You're going to see this amalgamation of religion, politics, military, etc. And they're going to sit, one will sit on the other one. But it doesn't last for long. Eventually, one will turn on the other one. So this is where the horns in 16, right? And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, right? Burn her with fire. Okay, so how do we understand these, the development of these events? And this is where we read in verse 17, right? For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And this is the key to looking at all of these things that will happen. Because at the end of the day, all of these things happen according to God's purpose. Nothing falls outside of God's purpose. So no matter how you see the world and whatever state it is in, right? Today we look at the world and it is truly a mess in many ways, right? Nothing that happens outside of God's purpose. Even this situation where you have a harlot and you have the beast and one sits on top of the other and they move together and then suddenly one turns on the other, that too is part of God's purpose. Because that is what it says, God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, right? Until the words of God are fulfilled. And that's something that we can take a lot of hope in. No matter what happens in the world today, right? No matter the challenges, no matter the problems, no matter the wars, nothing happens outside of the purpose of God, right? So we often think that God's purpose, you know, we think that we can understand God's purpose. But actually, God's purpose is far more profound than we can imagine. So we think it ought to be this way. Things ought to be this way. The war should be settled in this way. This is how it should be done. But the truth is, when God's purpose is concerned, it's a whole lot more profound. But the what we can really take heart in and take encouragement is this, that when we look at the purpose of God, nothing is going to fall outside of his purpose. In fact, God has put it in their hearts. Can the beast actually serve the purpose of God? Can the 10 horns end up serving the purpose of God? Answer is yes. Right? Even in the early days in ancient Israel also, in Israel's time, right? The Lord would raise up kingdoms, nations that will serve his purpose. One of them is this person called Cyrus, king of Persia. So Israel, the Judah at least, was taken by the Babylonian kingdom. And God would raise up this king of Persia. And he would then defeat the Babylonians and let them go back. And in the book of Isaiah, he is called my servant. God will address this king as his servant. So can people end up fulfilling God's purposes whether they know it or not? Answer is yes. Because at the end of the day, everything will align together with God's purpose. Okay, so verse 18, and the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. And this is a little prelude to what's going to happen in chapter 18. Because chapter 18 will describe the fall of this city, the fall of this great harlot. right? So this is what we're going to look at. So we look at it, and what are the lessons that we can learn as we read this text here? One is, as it says in verse 17, you know, when we look at things that happen, when we look at developments out there in the world, how do we understand it, right? One of the best things to do is simply to say, this is God's purpose. Do I understand it completely? No. Do I know how it all will work out? No. But we trust that whatever happens, happens within God's purpose, within God's will, and all things will happen as it has been prophesied. This is what we mean by prophecy as light in the darkness. In the darkness, right? So this is something that we can really put our faith and our trust in. So at the end of the day, what do we put our faith and trust in? That the words of God will be fulfilled, right? This is why we cling so much to the word of God, because we believe that it is not the opinions of people, it is not newspapers, it is not brilliant scientists who will tell us what will happen. But we believe in the word of God. We stand by it, right? And then we believe that the words of God will be fulfilled. And this is something that brings us hope, a lot of hope. Okay, so that's one part of it. And then the second part of it is this. Okay, we go back to verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. At the end of the day, if there should come about a conflict between sides, which side will we fall on? Right? And the challenge is to say, you know what? I am going to be on the Lord's side. Okay? I'm going to be in the army. The children like to sing, I'm in the Lord's army. Who's in the Lord's army? Three qualifications. One, you have to be called by the Lord. Okay? You cannot enlist of your own accord. You have to be called by the Lord. And each one of us who have come to know Him are called by Him. Two, we are not only called, we are also chosen. But three, this is the challenge of it all. Can we be faithful? We are called, we are chosen. And the challenge is to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, all the way through to the end. This is what makes up the army of Christ. Okay, so at the end of the day, there will come conflict. There will be forces ranged against the Lord, against the Lamb. Okay, here He is as a Lamb, presented as a Lamb. Right? That is one aspect, the sacrifice of it all, that He was a sacrifice for the world. But the Lamb part of it is only one aspect, because behind that Lamb idea, He is King. And He is Lord. And we who follow Him into victory. So that's the challenge of it all. I want to be part, I want to have these three qualities said of me, right? At the end of the day, one, I want to be called, chosen, but here's the part, my part. I really want to be faithful to the Lord all the way through to the end. So whatever happens out there in the world, this is who I wish to be. This is who I want to be. And I want to stand my ground as a soldier in the Lord's army. You know, the world today is moving fast. It's hard to understand things sometimes, you know. So I was in Chengdu this last week, just a few days, about 6 days or so. What do you think of Chengdu when you go over? How many of you been to China recently? Yeah, quite a few, because it's upcoming popular destination. So we went over down there. People think of pandas. I tell you, one of the things I was just floored by was the development of the country, you know. I don't know how people are going to catch up, because everything down there is a QR code. You know, it's the shops down there, some of them, specifically the bubble tea shop, no staff. There's nobody to serve you or to ask you, or you want to pay money, forget about it. There's nobody. It's just a code. The staff are preparing the cups. They're not there to serve you. So you scan the thing and then you go into the app, you have to sign into their apps. So the moment you are in China, is all their apps. Okay, you need at least 4 apps to survive by yourself in China. So you need to sign in. Everyone, you must give your data. I think Personal Data Protection Act, forget about it in China. No such thing. Okay, yeah, just give your data, just give. Okay, and then you sign into the thing. Then my problem is I cannot read Mandarin very well. So I say, what's happening here? So I say, okay, everything, chatting. Order, okay, done. And then they tell me, I look, this one correct. They say, your order, in Chinese, she told me, you send somebody other shop, you ordered from another shop, send to here. And I say, ha. Huh? Then I say, 45 minutes, you got to wait for your bubble tea to come. I say, okay, lah. So I say, okay, I go and take a walk first, I'll come back. I never came back. You know why? Because this place that I was in is so large. It is, I didn't know it then. It is the biggest building by square feet in the world. It's called the Global Center of Chengdu. Wow, I tell you, it is so large. It is, you know what it is? The shape of a giant ingot. You know the Chinese? Yeah, one giant. And it's 18 million square feet. Wow! You walk until your legs are, where am I? Where am I going? Inside down there, I just thought, I just have a look, you know? What we went there for, I got young children, go there, go to those indoor playgrounds, which is also huge. But I went down there, I just thought I have a look at the place, and it's inside a building is another glass dome with a artificial beach with pink color sand. It's just, right? I'm just floored by the size of it. And then that whole thing leads to a mall that is escalators gold in color, right? Marble floor wall. I'm not promoting Chengdu, by the way. I'm not here to promote anything. You know, blow, everything is just luxury. And then I went down there, I said, wow, okay. And then I only to find out that in front of that ingot, that gold, that biggest building in the world by square feet, is another shopping area. We call it a sunken mall. Have you heard of that, sunken mall? So this is the floor, right, level, and then it sinks down. Instead of going up, it goes down. And then there are 5 floors. The area of that shopping area is as big as the building. 5 floors full of luxury items, as in any brand from Europe. We didn't go there because it was too big. I just couldn't make my way there. I just couldn't even find the bubble tea, so forget about it. It is just, you know, China is just telling the world, look, we are capable, we are intelligent. You plug into our system. You want to trade, you know, it's just like the beast. You know, you want to trade with us? Plug into our system. Get the mark. The mark is a QR code. No. I'm just joking. I'm not joking. It's not. But it's just, you can see how these things can come out. Because it's either you are in their system or you are not, including language. You can't access it. Forget about it. We're not going to pander to you. You come to us. Wow. That is what it was. It was everywhere you go. So I was struggling. I have to admit, some people love China because they can understand everything. I go down there, I read, I cannot understand. And then my children have allergies, you know. My younger son has a peanut allergy and fish allergy. So you go to China, peanut and fish. This one got huasen, this one got yu, what kind of yu? Forget about it, they won't tell you what kind of fish it is. But this is what China is today. You know, this the strength of it all. We are China, luxury. Right, we are. You come to us. We will not pander to you, and they're not gonna pander to anyone. You just have the idea of what kind of power that is. You know, you talk about horns. A horn is a symbol of power. What kind of power are we talking about today? Right, it's the development. That how are the poorer people going to catch up with this? I don't understand. Even older people. How are older people going to catch up with QR code everywhere? I have no idea. But that's what it is, right? And then we went there, the shopping street over there. This is a cross section, you know, just like Orchard Road we have. But their cross section is multiples of the size of our Orchard Road. And that's only one place. And it is packed full of people. Full. I say, wow, what is this? It is large, it is huge. And there's one tiny city in the province of Sichuan. And then there's so many others. The world today, this is what it boasts of. Power, network, authority, right? You just imagine what the beast will be like. You try to imagine. The network, the power, the authority. Personal data protection, forget about it. This is what it is. And then the harlot that sits atop, the influence, the ideas, the ideology that will flow from it, the falseness of it all. How is it? What is the world coming to today? That is what we're seeing. The harlot and the beast. One sitting atop of each other. You know, another thing that is very prevalent nowadays is this idea of, you know, some people feel difficult to cope. You know, they have very deep feelings, strong feelings. So they look for things. So what you're seeing is this mix of psychology and spiritualism. So what people do is they offer these things here, 7 days. Okay, you can take 7 days in Australia, a little conference there. No contact with the outside world. Right? And we will talk to you. Our coaches will talk to you. We will help you unearth your problems, your difficulties. I went to read one of their so-called the doctrines of it all. You know what it says? It says there's a benevolent entity that actually cares for you. And that entity is light. I say, you took this from the Bible, you know. This one is plagiarism. Call him God. But no. It is going to be spiritualism mixed in with psychology. Well, psychology has many branches, right? But this one, they take from the old type. You know, the type in the cartoons, you see the person lie down there, talk, oh, how are you? Freudianism, as we call it, basically. But this is what you're seeing today. False ideas, false ideology. It may not be so-called tied to a traditional religion as we understand it, but false ideology can become, as it were, a religion, right? I was reading the story of a person called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. There was a film that came out about him, I think it was last year. But this title of the book is Pastor and Spy. Wow, straight away it intrigued me. How do you be a pastor and a spy? So he was down there and he said, one of the challenges in Third Reich Germany, okay, this was a person who was a theologian, pastor, who joined the resistance against Hitler. And his big question in his life is, if I kill somebody, will God forgive me? Because unless I kill Hitler, he will not stop. And so he joined a resistance movement to kill Hitler. They failed. They didn't manage to do it. But this is what he was. And his struggle, and he said, the Reich churches in those days, right, were taken over by Hitler. And the pastors had to do the signal because it was basically influenced by the Nazis. Right? It's a Nazi church. So whatever Protestant faith was there was taken over by this Nazi idea. The whole thing was corrupt. The whole thing was gone. State and religion, one on top of the other. How do you understand that at a global scale? All I know is a really scary phenomenon. And the best thing we can do is to say, one, Lord, all of these things are in your purposes, in your timing. You think this cooperation is going to last forever? Try riding on a tiger. And I don't mean the AI tiger that you know, some people do AI. I don't mean try riding on a beast. The beast is a beast. It will turn on you. And it turned. It will turn on the harlot and destroy her. And after that, Babylon will fall, the beast will fall, the dragon will fall, and all things will be made new. That's in the chapters to come. So we're reaching the end. The light is getting brighter. We are moving, we are walking, we are going towards eternal life and joy. So let's just persevere through these very, very challenging chapters. Difficult days are ahead for sure. And I think the best thing we can do is say, Lord, your purpose be done, your words be fulfilled. Right? And that's what it will have to be. And personally, which side do I fall on? Am I a part of the world and its system? Or am I the Lord's? And I want to say, I am the Lord's. Three things. I'm called, I'm chosen, and here I am. I want to be faithful to the end of my life. As much as I am able, I'm just going to stay faithful to the Lord. That must be our challenge. That must be our what we really, really want to do. Okay, does that make sense? Does that help? So it's very hard to pinpoint anything. I would hesitate to pinpoint anything. Because these things you don't see, if you were to look at the features, you don't see those features today. You just don't. You may see one or two, but you won't see the full list of it. Right? So like a medical doctor, you say, how do you diagnose something? All five things need to be there. You cannot have two things and you say, this is it. You can't. Right? So what do? We take it as harbingers. We take it as glimpses of that which is to come. And we take and how do we respond? We trust the Lord to fulfill His purpose. How do we respond? We just want to be faithful to the Lord all the way through, on the Lord's side, in the Lord's army, battling for the kingdom of the Lord here on earth. And that's what we're going to try to continue to do, whether it's in Singapore or whether it's in other countries. We fight for the kingdom of Christ here on earth, winning souls for people, the old, the young, whoever they may be along the way. That must be our commitment personally and as a church as well. Okay? Do you have any questions? Okay, well, if not, then we're going to close and may we be challenged by these thoughts from Revelation 17. Okay, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you, and as we read these very sobering words of prophecy, we pray that you will help us not to have hearts that will fear, but instead to have hearts that will trust in you, in your purpose, that one day your words will be fulfilled. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control of all things. We thank you that we belong to you, that we belong to our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we, his people, his army, chosen, called, faithful. We pray that you help us to be faithful all the way through to the end, fighting, ever striving for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And we ask that you help us, grant to us the grace to be faithful to him. In his precious name we pray. Amen.